has started and grown several multi-million dollar businesses. His mission is to help you do the same. Welcome to the Business Growth Pod, building the future one entrepreneur at a time.
Yo, what's up, people? Welcome to the Business Growth Pod, a podcast that's all about helping you grow your business and make that money. But hey, listen, Alan is MIA right now. He's missing in action. He's at the Masters right now, enjoying a sandwich, enjoying the golf course, watching the pros play. But don't worry, we've still got your back. I'm Hunter, your substitute host, and I'm stoked to be here with you today. Let's just say I'm the Robin to Alan's Batman, the Chewie to his Han Solo, you get the idea. I'm a social media content creator for Alan, and I'm here to help you level up your game in this episode. Now, if you've been tuning in, you know we've been bringing you some amazing guests lately. We're talking entrepreneurs, CEOs, influencers, and all-around powerhouses who know how to hustle and make it happen. And if you haven't been tuning in, well, what are you waiting for? You're missing out on some serious knowledge bombs, my friend. These guests are dropping more knowledge than a library on steroids. So buckle up, Buttercup, because we've got some killer content coming your way. And if you're ready to grow your business and crush your goals, then smash that subscribe button, pound the like or thumbs up, and let's get this party started. So let's take a quick trip down memory lane and revisit some of our recent episodes. We've had some epic moments.
Let's get into it. You know, a lot of our listeners they're wanting to start a company. They're wanting to start their business. They're not necessarily fulfilled with their 9-to-5 or their day job. And I think that if I had to pick one thing that is like the key to early success, at least early success in a business, getting some cash flow going, things like that. And one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the most, I would say sales. I have 17 or 18 business partners at this point, and almost all of them are incredible, incredible salespeople. Why is it that sales is so important to early stage entrepreneurs?
Here's the way I look at it. You can drive all the traffic you want to a website. You can get a bunch of people, you know, giving you their emails and everything else. And you may have a great product and you have a great service. But if you don't know how to present it properly, if you don't know how to ask the right questions, and, you know, you can't get your message across. And that's really all sales is, right? It's taking the energy and enthusiasm that you have for your product or service and transferring it to somebody else. Once you do that, you do it successfully, they'll buy the product. Now, I coach a lot of people and talk to a lot of people, and we'll call it the woo-woo space, right? And they want to serve, they want to help people, you know, they want to add something to the world. They actually want to change the world one person at a time. But it's like, dude, if you don't close them, if they don't buy your product or service, you're just talking to a wall. You're not doing them any favors. You're not doing yourself any favors. And the bottom line is, if you're really on a mission, then you've got to really make sure that you can present your product in a manner that makes it fun and easy for the customer to purchase. So I don't use the word sell as much as I do. I love the language of talking about make it easy for them to own your product. Just don't make it hard. Because you want to affect the bottom line. Number one thing affects the bottom line. You can't save yourself enough money to become wealthy and independent and travel and be location non-specific. You can only do that by creating some sort of wealth. Now, that could be a few $100,000 or that could be a few $1 million, whatever it is, whatever lifestyle you want to live. The only way to do that in any company, the fastest and easiest way to increase the bottom line is increase your sales.
So when somebody's getting started in 2023 in real estate, somebody is wanting to do their very first deal, where do they start?
I think you hit it right there when you talked about the how. Rich Dad, Poor Dad has always been one of my staples. I read it about once a year. I personally think that it is a phenomenal book for anybody who's looking to get started in entrepreneurship, real estate investing specifically. But probably the biggest lesson I took away from that book is something that he said. He said, I never say I can't afford it. I always say, how can I afford it? Mm-hmm. And I've looked at that And it's not just a matter of making purchases. It's not only a, oh, I can't do that. It's how can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the two biggest keys to success in the industry, in any endeavor, are effective communication and the willingness to go out and try to solve problems. So if you can be a problem solver, if you can come through and look at these things as a puzzle, like I've gotten to where the hard deals are the fun ones for me. I love the puzzle aspect to it of trying to figure this thing out when everybody else feels like that it's dead in the water, it's no go. I'm always looking for how can I find a creative solution to get this thing done.
I remember listening to podcasts and stuff in my early investing days, and I would listen to people talk about strategy and being creative with deals and coming up with solutions. And I thought it was all just two people talking because it was so foreign to me. And I kind of wanted to go back to my question. If somebody, they do not own real estate right now, let's say that, you know, there's somebody, recent college graduate, maybe they have a 9-to-5, they're making 40, 50 grand a year. Where do they start? Are you suggesting that people invest in short-term rentals, multifamily, commercial? Where does somebody that they've been saying it for 5, 6, 8 years that they want to invest in real estate, where do they go now in 2023 with interest rates being where they are? I think the market in a lot of areas is starting to soften a little bit, but they're still fairly high, especially considering interest rates. So what is somebody to do?
So I think it's one of a couple of things. One, I think they really need to sit down and strategize and figure out what are they wanting to do in the real estate investment space. Is it more of a short-term rental? Is it I want to own some commercial properties, or is it I'm looking to get into the actual rental game, or is it fix and flips? So I think once you kind of make that strategy determination, and some of it, you're not going to know what you don't know until you actually get in there and do it. But starting that strategic place of, hey, this is where I'm really interested. This is where I think I want to start. And then start just asking questions, finding a mentor who has done it before to help lead you in that direction. You can read books, you can listen to podcasts, you can do all of those things, but finding an actual mentor to show you what to do, that's part of building your team. To me, having a team in place is so key. And a big part of that team is having a mentor that can show you the way. So I think that you need to go out and you need to find someone who has done it before. They can start putting you on the inside to some deals that you wouldn't normally see. Because I can tell you, all of the best deals, in my experience, never actually hit the open market. They're all done on the backside. So once you've got that mentor in place, it is starting to lock down and say, okay, well, I've got some cash here that I can do this or that. And then figuring out how much time do you have to actually dedicate to this? Because there is some new stuff that's popping up right now that are called syndications, to where you can actually get some of the benefits of real estate investing. You can get some of the tax benefits and you can get some of the growth, appreciation, and cash flow benefits without actually having to do the work. Because I can't tell you how many new investors that I've had come to me and we start looking at the process and they're like, well, hey, I want to buy a few single family rentals, but I'm looking to be hands off. I just want the mailbox money. So I'm going to hire a property manager. Well, what I can tell you is if even hiring a property manager, it's not completely hands off. You're still going to be making decisions. You're still going to be getting phone calls. You're still going to have to approve expenses, repairs, improvements, all those things. If you're looking for true hands off, the real estate syndication might be something that you're interested in looking into.
How does somebody that's listening, maybe as my dad used to say, they don't have two nickels to rub together. They're thinking about starting their business, or they just recently started. They're just trying to keep the lights on. What's the practice, or what's the mindset, or what does that individual do to kind of start looking at things that cannot be taken away from them? That mindset, that personal growth, that attitude of, I went to law school and I practiced law for a while, but left the law 8-9 years ago. And people ask me a lot, hey, if you could do it over, would you go to law school? And I say that I would, mostly because of the confidence that it gave me. Just getting through law school, passing the bar exam. And I think starting and growing a business adds to that confidence. And I think that's a big chunk of it. I suffer a lot from imposter syndrome, where it's like, Alan, you don't deserve to have, you know, this number of businesses or net worth or coaching platform or podcast, whatever it is. So ultimately, what do we do to kind of, how can we help the listener see around that corner of gaining that perspective before they have to put in the same number of years that you and I did?
You know, I think some cases, Alan, the only way that they're going to get it is they have to go through the mistakes. They have to go through a lot of adversity to be able to get through. Like, it's, you can tell people all day long, but at the end of the day, they're never really going to get it until they actually make the mistakes, go through that whole process, and then just learn it by experience, right? But on the other hand, you have a certain segment of people that, you know, they do want to learn and avoid those mistakes, and they're willing to learn from those who've, you know, walked the path before them. So for them and for everybody, the most important investment that you'll ever make monetarily is into your own self. The real estate between your ears is the most valuable real estate, and what you feed that on a daily basis and the degree of the value and the quality of the input is going to determine, you know, the thoughts that you have and the output.
I think it's really cool that you worked with youth, because the world's such a crazy place right now. I think it's kind of always been, but with the internet, with social media, with access to like crazy information, with, you know, COVID happening and all these moving parts, being a father is, you know, much more important to me than being an entrepreneur. I believe that I'm going to be a father forever, right? I believe, you know, I have a strong faith in God. I believe that it's going to last into perpetuity. Whereas, you know, my career as an entrepreneur, as an investor, is more of a short-term gig. So I think it's really cool that you've had this opportunity to, you know, spend some time with the youth, and they're so impressionable. One thing that I've learned kind of, and this goes back to the question about passion versus money, it's like you're measured, you know, people, we try not to judge others, but it's natural. It's a survival mechanism. And there are some people that you will not be able to reach without achieving a certain level of success. You will not be able to reach them. And it's not that your goal should be to reach everybody, but, you know, people talk, you hear a lot of, usually in the religious community or whatever, they talk a lot about money's evil or whatever, and it definitely can be used for evil. But my opinion has always been that it's more of a tool. It's kind of like a shovel, right? I could do some bad stuff with a shovel. I could hit somebody with it, right? Or, you know, whatever. There's a few more analogies there. What has working with the youth, how has that impacted you in terms of your professional life and what you want to achieve financially and professionally?
Yeah. So what was kind of interesting about, you know, the story as I was going through as a youth pastor, music person, a lot of my quality time with my kids was through volunteering, through coaching and stuff. And I loved that. But then when I went into sales with aviation, I had to put that on the back burner. And the company was pretty, you know, clear about that. You can't leave early to go coach your kids. And so what was interesting was that there was a shift there from being present to them, like after school and stuff, to not being present. But when I was present with them, I was present in a different way. Like, hey, we could take a trip now. Like, we can go on vacation this year because we actually have funds for it. Or when I take them to a soccer game, hey, we can actually afford a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Hey, bring your friends. Like, we can pay for your friends. And that was rewarding in its own way. And so for me, when it comes to giving back, or when it comes to quality time, when it comes to how my faith life and my working with the youth has informed me moving forward, my goal in the future, like I recently started my own brokerage. My goal is to reach out to people who were like me, that had the heart of a servant, that were hungry for success, but just never had the right vehicle. So now what it does for me is I now have a vehicle. I now have a way that I can transform my life with income. And I want to share that with other people that, you know, most brokerages are probably looking for someone that's a pilot or has sales experience or whatever. I'm looking for the right, like the kind-hearted people that are going to work really hard, because I can teach you the soft skills on how to talk to someone and how to sell a jet so that it can transform your life. So I'm looking at it from that perspective of how can I transform someone's life, not just how can I sell more jets for myself.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a rating. And for daily inspiration and business tips, follow Alan on Instagram. Until next time, remember, we build the future one entrepreneur at a time.